And staying in the Carrboro vein, we've got Mayor Lydia Lavelle here in the studio for another round of Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, 4 promises, and 1 purpose for a greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Get more on them at carolinachamber.org. Mayor Lavelle, good to have you here in the studio. How are you?
Great to be here, Aaron. Good to see you.
And the last time we spoke, it was during the filing period for the 2019 municipal elections. That's wrapped up, and you are unopposed again for mayor. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. That was the last time we talked. That tells you it's been
a long time, right? Yeah.
No, I'm really happy to be running for the mayor of Carrboro again, a position of mayor of Carrboro, and also happy to be unopposed. Although having competition is also great to get the word out about what all we're doing and why I should be reelected. But it's an honor to be able to run again and hopefully be reelected and be sworn in again in December. But I will, as I've done in the past, I'll still participate in questionnaires, which we're already getting, questionnaires to fill out, any forums that people want me to come and attend, any other kind of outreach. I'll put up some signs, not many, but just remind people that it's that time again for reelection. Mm-hmm. But I'll also more than likely take a back seat, though, to the Board of Aldermen races, which
is going to be pretty interesting to watch this year.
Right. It's kind of local democracy, I guess, at its finest with 6 candidates, right, for 3 seats, and with Bethany Cheney not running for re-election, that always, whenever you have an open seat, that always brings out more candidates as well, too. So, it'll be an interesting fall in the town of Carrboro.
So, a lot of aldermen forums to come, and of course, we'll be talking about that over the course of the next few months leading up to November, but no mayoral race, and as you mentioned, that means not as many opportunities to talk about what's going on and why you should be re-elected, but we can do it here. What's going on, and why should you be re-elected?
Because when I am opposed, we can't do this.
Exactly, right? Yeah, we have to stop.
Yeah, so we get to keep going. Of course, we're in the middle of summer break. Now, and I guess in a minute we'll talk about the green track, because that's a summer item that we've all been kind of dealing with. But we'll come back again in September with our meetings, our regular Tuesday night meetings. We start the Tuesday the day after Labor Day, and we'll start back full force. I guess I would say I know a couple of big items coming up, and I might say this one right on to folks, and we'll, as this approaches, we'll tell people. But actually, in August sometime, DOT is going to be starting work on the roundabout at Estes Drive in Greensboro, and we initially had gotten feedback that that was going to have to be delayed because of some rescission kind of concerns with the federal government or whatever. But anyway, it is on track, and so. Right now, DOT is communicating with our staff about exactly what form that will take, what kind of lanes will be closed, how long the project will be, what the plan will be for notifying people where to go. We've been through this before, right, in South Greensboro Street, but of course, North Greensboro Street, especially where Estes is an access to, other areas. And, we have a lot of bus routes on that road and everything. So that'll be taking place sometime in August. It'll start in August.
That's a big intersection from all 3 directions,
right? It's huge. It's a huge intersection, and while we're pleased that it's going to be moving forward, we recognize it's going to create a little bit of havoc on the town. Mm-hmm. So once we kind of know the details about that, we'll get that out to people. And then when we hit the ground running in September, we'll be getting updates from our staff, hopefully on the latest status with regard to our 203 project, which staff has kind of been reassessing what we can do now that we don't have the Arts Center involved in that particular project, but we're excited about trying to move forward with a new project, kind of a new look to it, and we'll be getting some updates about that in September, and hopefully have some information we can share with the public.
Will it be a new look, like a new design and everything?
It kind of depends on how things shake out in terms of what all we're going to have in the building. You'll recall that we did have a theater designed for that with the Arts Center. I think part of what staff is kind of trying to decide is whether to make a recommendation to us or not to keep that theater in there, knowing that we don't have many venues like that.
I was going to say, keep that theater.
I know, right? Yeah, you could be in there every night, Aaron. That'd be great.
Right.
So I think that's part of it, is that we don't want to lose an opportunity for something like that. And then also, if we stick with the same size, if you will, what would fill up the space that the Arts Center was going to be in. And so that, but you know, I think that, you know, they're looking at some data and looking at figures and things like that, and trying to, they want to come back to us with that. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one. And I guess another one or two I'll mention, or I guess one more I'll mention, we can talk about the green track, is we've had a piece of property, there's a piece of property up on Eubanks Road owned by Omar Zinn, and it is a tract of land that that he has asked to be rezoned to this new flex zoning.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and so at the end of in June, at the before our summer break, we asked staff, there were several questions they were still exploring to get some information back to us. I think some of us are going to be trying to take some tours out on that tract of land this summer, but in any event, when we come back in September is when that project comes back to us to be annexed into Carrboro, and also to for the board to consider whether to have it be rezoned into this kind of new flex zone. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of positives about the project of late, as we've talked about in the spring, kind of reminding us what we used to talk about, right?
Right, right.
There are some concerns from some residents or community members about part of the land that abuts Duke's Preserve, mm-hmm. and that, you know, is kind of part of this Meadow Flats area that's kind of ecologically significant. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to hear a little more back from staff about that. But that those are just a couple of the big projects that we're looking forward to addressing when we come back in the fall.
So on that, and this is for people who don't know, and that kind of includes me, what is the difference between flex zoning and regular zoning, I guess?
Yeah, the flex zone was... So we adopted this ability to have something zoned flex zone last year. Mm-hmm. So in this request by Omar to have his property zoned to a flex zone,
right.
What it does is it has really built right into the town code the metrics around which the development should look. Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, the net result at the end is not like a CUP or an SUP. The net result is if you follow what's laid out in the town code, and it's only for a very few specific parcels in town, like mm-hmm. depending on size and so on, but if you meet the setbacks and the requirements and the open space requirements and, you know, however the flex zone ultimately gets crafted for that specific piece of property.
Gotcha.
Along the way, if you're having the community meetings and adapting to, you know, what's being requested and as your flex zone gets approved, then at the end of the day, it's kind of done, and then you can build it.
Okay.
So it's kind of a lot of information along the way, but it doesn't have that end point where the town has to issue a special use permit.
Yeah,
in
so
a
kind
way.
Of a different process to ultimately get to the same point.
Correct.
That's
correct.
A little
or it's
bit
conditional
easier.
Use
yeah.
permit, I should say. Yep, yeah, yep. yeah. So it's a little different way. Mm-hmm. Some feedback from community members is that, you know, they feel like there's not enough opportunity for feedback by community members, and so we've tried to build in along the way lots of opportunity for advisory boards as well as, you know, folks from the public to be able to respond. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, we can end up with a product that's gotten a lot of good input.
Okay. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org, by the way, for more information on town government. And don't forget, today is Feel Free Friday, so much more on the town coming up throughout this show as well. But you mentioned the green track, which is like all the developments that we've been talking about are scheduled to be discussed later on in the year when the board comes back in the fall. The green tract has been very much front and center this summer, and the Chapel Hill Town Council just met last week and passed a resolution, but it's a resolution that's different from the resolution that Orange County and Carrboro passed, and there's still some uncertainty about that resolution that Chapel Hill passed as well. So where do things stand, and what does this mean for Carrboro's involvement?
Yeah, so when we all broke in June, mm-hmm. It came to everyone's attention that Chapel Hill had scheduled this special meeting for July, so we knew that they would be considering the passage of the resolution, and I think we all assumed it would be the same resolution that we passed and the county passed. But the weekend right before that meeting, I was out of town, but I received some emails from some folks that, of course, in the packet for Chapel Hill, they had this alternate resolution. Mm-hmm. And I had considered going to the Chapel Hill Town Council meeting anyway, just to kind of be there to perhaps speak on the spur of the moment or just to listen and see what was going on, because I had figured if this had happened in the fall, I had figured we'd have some kind of a joint public hearing anyway, and as as partners in the process and as other owners of the land, you know, I thought it would make sense for me to be there. But once I heard that there was another joint resolution, I definitely wanted to be there and really advocate for the original resolution, because that was the one that we all had seen and we all had, you know, hammered out over the months. And, you know, we're all partners moving forward. And, of course, that night, the evening of the meeting, a lot of the residents who spoke, who were, I think, Chapel Hill folks, were, you know, concerned about once this got passed, well, then when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Like, for example, the environmental study, right? And I you know, I think we've all tried to do a good job of assuring the public all of that was going to happen anyway. All of that is going to happen. So that's kind of, you know, one big takeaway from the evening is I think that the resolution that Chapel Hill actually ended up passing that night is not too far off of the one that the county and us and the town of Carborough passed, in that there was a commitment made to a certain percentage to go toward these uses, a certain percentage to go toward affordable housing, a certain percentage to go toward a school site, you know, a certain percentage for preservation. So I think in spirit, it was the same. We're having our attorney kind of look it over to see if there's some kind of a cleanup resolution, if you will, that we need to do to make sure we've all adopted the same thing, or so that we're all on the same page. And then I think, you know, kind of going forward, I think what it taught me was that as we had even discussed at the last mayor MMC meeting, that's like the manager's mayor's chair meeting, we'd even discussed that we might want to have joint public hearings of this project going forward so that we can all kind of, you know, be able to respond and hear from the public about this. And so I think that's going to be some of our thinking here for the fall, is to kind of outline in a specific way how all three jurisdictions are going to move forward, and also figure out a way that it's not just Chapel Hill. And you know, granted, they're unique. They're the unique partner of the owners because it's in their jurisdiction. And so I understand that. But I think as joint landowners, you know, we also want to hear what people are saying about this piece of property that we own.
So what is the next step for the Board of Aldermen? Is it to now consider the new resolution once that's worked out? Are you generally comfortable with the, because you were at the meeting, you heard the resolution, and there was some, I know there was a certain amount of, I was out of town, I missed this whole thing, a certain amount of disagreement about the content of the resolution, but how comfortable are you with the resolution as it stands?
Yeah, well, if you had been there that night, you would have not been sure what was passed either. You know, it took a while to sort out.
I've been told I need to watch the video, and I haven't gotten around
to it yet. Oh my gosh, Aaron, yes, you need to get yourself a drink and watch the video. But no, when all was said and done, when finally it was kind of like what ended up being approved, which was like a day or two later when their town clerk sent it to, you know, to us, when all was said and done, it's not too far off. Now, the one that had been proposed wouldn't have been as good as the one they ultimately adopted. But the one they ultimately adopted is not too far off from the one that we passed. And again, our attorney is going to look at it and see if we can, you know, pass something to kind of make it so we're all kind of on the same page. And I think that that's the plan with us and with the county, so that we can do that. And then establish a time frame that meets with all of our schedules, you know, all three owners of the property, our schedule kind of moving forward in a way that's efficient, but in a way that kind of drives us toward having some affordable housing out there sooner than later.
Have you heard from residents on this?
You know, I've heard from a couple, but most of the people I have heard from, actually, I take that back. I've only heard from a couple of Carborough residents.
Okay.
But I did hear from quite a few Chapel Hill residents who were a little confused, thinking I was voting on it or we were voting on it around that time.
Right.
Green Tract. But no, in general, haven't heard from many Carborough folks about it.
Speaking with Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org. Of course, we'll keep following that discussion as it continues. Got to wrap up before we do. There is an event coming up in about a little bit more than a month that you wanted to get the word out about, right?
Yeah. I wanted to put this on people's calendar. But this is actually an event that's going to take place on Wednesday, September 4th at 7 p.m. at Flyleaf Books. And what this is I have a colleague. Her name is Deandra Rose. And Deandra is an assistant professor of public policy and political science at the Sanford School of Public Policy. And so we've gotten to know each other. And she has a book that she has published this year. And it's called Citizens by Degree. And it's about federal higher education policies, such as Title IX and the Higher Education Act and other acts that were passed, and the impact they had on the progress that American women have made since the 1960s. And it's kind of a really interesting kind of, you know, take that she's taken with the book and the policies behind it and so on. And she did a similar type event in Durham at the Regulator with Mayor Steve Shull. And so I offered to, you know, we talked to Flyleaf, and they're excited about this also.
Yeah.
We're going to have a really, I think, engaging conversation talking about this. You know, she basically says, by expanding women's access to college, those policies help pave the way for women to surpass men as the recipients of bachelor's degrees, and also empowering women to become more economically independent, socially integrated, and politically engaged. And so I think that's pretty timely in a time period where we're heading up on the 100th anniversary of the right to vote,
right,
and where we're still out there battling for the Equal Rights Amendment.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's September 4th at Flyleaf, 7 p.m., and obviously we'll say more about that as the day comes closer. And Dr. Rose, would be great to have on the air. I know we talked about possibly coming on you and her together to talk. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll try to check with her, and we'll make our schedules align.
We set it now into live microphone, so it has to happen.
Very good.
Townofcarborough.org for more information on the town. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.